So we have done a brief introductory study in chapter 1. And so Solomon, who is the author of this book, after the introduction of what true wisdom is, he goes on to show us the purpose of wisdom, of God's wisdom, in chapter 1 verses 2 to 6. And then he also presented to us the theme of Proverbs in verse 7, chapter 1. And then he followed up with a call or an invitation to wisdom. And that is a call to salvation. From verses 8, from chapter 1, verse 8 to chapter 9, verse 18, he issued that call. And of course, his instruction or the wisdom he presented to us was illustrated like a father or a mother, or father and a mother instructing a child in the way that they should go. So keep in mind that, as I said before, the book of Proverbs, that wisdom is Christ. For Christ is the embodiment of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, and in fact in all the wisdom literatures, which are the books that are in or classified or categorized as wisdom literature: Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. Therefore, do not treat wisdom literatures, particularly the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, as mere moral instruction or as maxims for the application of everyone. It is not. It is written for the Christian to instruct them in the way that they should live their lives that glorify God. So the Bible, as I said, is mainly written to the Christian believers for their faith and practice. So Solomon here in Proverbs chapter 4 continues his appeal, calling out, inviting, appealing to us, to all Christians, to seek the Lord Jesus and to follow after the way of wisdom, which is Christ, that will lead to eternal life or everlasting life, and it will prevent you or keep you from the way of wickedness and destruction. Our attention this afternoon is on the subject, take fast hold of wisdom. And our key text is verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ may well be described as taking hold, taking a strong and firm grip upon divine instruction. God, in His mercy, has condescended to us to teach us, to give us, or to show us the way of life. And it is our responsibility to hear with attention and to receive the word of God with seriousness, with sobriety, that it is not to be trifled with. And while we are hearing, what happens? And we know that this is a promise from the Lord. When we hear the word of God, when we spend our time in the meditation of God's word, there is faith. Faith comes from hearing from the word of God, even that faith which saves our soul. So to take fast hold is an exhortation which concerns the strength, the reality, and the heartiness and the truthfulness of faith. And the more Christian believers take hold of it, the more the Christian believers pursue after wisdom, which is to pursue Christ, the better. To take hold is good, then to take fast hold is even better. Even a touch, as I've said this morning, even a touch of the hem of Christ's garment causes healing to that woman, so it is to us if we touch just the hem of Christ's garment. But, if we want more, if we want the fullness of Christ, which are treasured up in Christ, then we must not only touch, we must take hold of it, a firm grip of it, and do not let go. Keep her. And if we would know from day to day, to the very uttermost of all the fullness of grace, we must take fast hold. And so maintain a constant and a close connection between our soul and our Savior, who is the eternal fountain of life. We are to take fast hold of not anything, not man's wisdom. We are to take fast hold of God's instruction. And the best of instruction is that which comes from God, the wisdom of God. The truest wisdom is the revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And of that, we are to take fast hold. The best understanding is obedience to the will of God. And the diligent learning of those saving truths which God has set before us in His Word. So that in effect, we are exhorted here and in all of Scripture to take hold of Christ Jesus our Lord, the incarnate wisdom in whom dwells all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. If you are truly seeking or desiring true wisdom, then you are to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not seek it anywhere else. There is no true wisdom anywhere else. Not in human philosophy, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, diligently go after Him. Do not forsake Him, but to keep Him, hold Him, for He is your life. And then, do you not remember the Apostle John in his Gospel? What did he say to us or tells us in the book of John? That the Word, referring to Christ, is our light or instruction. And at the same time, Christ is our life. In Him was life. And the life was the light of the world. Or light of man, rather, sorry. John 1:4. Therefore, the more we abide or remain or diligently seek after Christ, and more firmly taking hold of Him, the better it will be for us, the Christian believers. We shall handle today's subject by speaking first upon the method, how to fast hold, how to take a firm grip on the Lord Jesus. And then secondly, to consider the benefits of taking a firm hold of the Lord Jesus. First, the method of fast holding, the how to. And so at the outset, I must stress this. This is foundational. We do not want to talk about the method unless you have settled the foundational step. And it all depends on the intense or your intense decision with regard to eternal things, with regard to spiritual matters in your life. If you truly intend to, or rather, if you intend to treat this lightly, trifle it, you will trifle. But if you are serious, and you mean to take hold, fast hold of Christ by God's grace, then do so. The Holy Spirit indeed will help you, will assist you in that. Under God, this in many cases depends very much upon our or man's individuality and the force of character. You see, there are some people in their natural state, they are thorough and wholehearted in all the things upon which they endeavor. They treat things eternal. They treat the things of God. They treat spiritual knowledge or truth very seriously, whether of this world or the next. So, dear brethren, we must all confess that if there is a true and living God, if Christianity be true, it deserves our serious attention, it deserves our serious consideration, and we shall give our whole heart and our whole soul to it, because it is not to be trifled. If Jesus be true, if Jesus be real, it is a matter concerning which we cannot be neutral or lukewarm, for it demands our soul, as the hymn goes, it demands my life, my all, my heart, and its claim cannot be denied. There must be a determination and a commitment in our souls by the Holy Spirit to be upright and downright in the work of the Lord, in seeking after the Lord, or else it will be of little worth. We are really wasting our time if our heart and our soul and our mind are not there in seeking after God, in seeking after Christ. So we come, however, to a closer matter of fact when we observe next that our taking fast hold of the things of God must depend, and this is, as I said, foundational, vital. It must depend on the thoroughness of our conversion. And again, to put it very simply, are you a truly born again Christian? If this is not settled, there is no need for us to pursue the next step of taking hold or fast hold of going after the Lord Jesus and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, if in the first place there is no true conversion in your heart. Our heart's condition before God is a personal matter. We do not deny that, and we must acknowledge that we have no power or ability for the minister or for the preacher or for the Christian to judge our fellow believers whether he or she is truly a born-again Christian. Each one of us, each man, each woman, each boy or girl must judge for himself and herself and examine ourselves whether he is a true believer in Christ. This is the first step. The church must and ought to, yes, we acknowledge that and we practice that in this church, that we examine each candidate for membership. But for whatever a church may attempt or try to attempt and put in all the effort in our zeal to examine the candidate for true conversion, it can never take the responsibility of his own sincerity from any man. It's not possible. Only God truly knows our hearts, and you know that whether you are in Christ. We do not pretend to give certificates of salvation, and if we do that, it will be worthless. You yourself must know the Lord and be really converted, or else your profession is a forgery, is a counterfeit. If a man shall in afterlife hold fast to the things of God, he must be and she must be soundly converted at first. This is fundamental. Very much of his afterlife, after becoming a Christian, depends on the thoroughness of his beginning. There must be, at the very first, a deep sense of sin, a deep conviction that you are a sinner before God and that you cannot save yourself, and only Christ can save you through his blood. We must have in us, through the work of the Holy Spirit, a realization of the horror of sin, of the sinfulness of sin, that we are rebels who rebel against God. If you have not arrived at that first stage, you will never make it or make much of a Christian. John Bunyan's book, Grace Abounding, very much accounts for John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. And I strongly recommend you to read that book. Both the book, Grace Abounding and Pilgrim's Progress. And again, these days, just Google it free of charge. You don't even have to pay for it. And if it had not been, if you look at the life of John Bunyan, if it has not been God sending affliction and conflict upon his soul, John Bunyan might not have known how to hold fast his confidence when he was shut up or locked up in prison for 12 years. Nor would he have the vision of the celestial city when all around him was as the valley of the shadow of death. That was John Bunyan's experience, that he came to that, and that helped him, or that foundational conversion of knowing Christ as his Savior gave him that strength, gave him that confidence to hold fast in Christ during his 12 years in prison. For a true Christian, there ought to be and there shall be an end of self-trust. We must come to that. All our self-righteousness, all our effort to try to in our attempt to save ourselves is useless, is futile. We must have that conviction. A total destruction of self-righteousness, a complete giving up of all legal and carnal hopes, or else the conversion will be a mere show. Unless repentance of sin is real in you, is real in me, we will never take fast hold of the truth of God. Next, there must also be sincerity, which is a very sincere laying hold upon Christ. If you have any doubt about the doctrine of atonement, there is no wonder your faith soon wears thin and wears out. No, you must without question accept the substitutionary sacrifice. Your soul must feel, have that sense or consciousness that the blood of Christ is your only hope. That is, and this alone, can make a sinner clean before the living God. You must, and we must, I must, fly to Christ in desperation and cling to Him as all our salvation and all our desire. There must be no hesitancy there. At the very outset of the Christian life, these two things should be very distinct with you. I repeat, in summary, it's simple. Sin, which has ruined you, and Christ, who has saved you. You have this settled, then we are talking about the next step of taking fast hold. You make a muddle of it at the first, and your life will be a tangle. So see that you are right and sound and thorough, and take hold of take fast hold of truth in the days of your first love, or you will be, or else you will be a sickly Christian in the years to come. If you are truly resting in the foundation of Christ right from the start, then the next help comes to us to take fast hold of Christ. And this is hearty discipleship. Brethren, as soon as you are converted, you become the disciples of the Lord Jesus. And if you are to become fast-holding Christians, then you must acknowledge Him to be your master. there must be no other master, for a man cannot serve two masters. It's either Jesus or the world. You decide. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will worship. He must be your teacher, he must be your master, and he must be your Lord in all things, in every aspect of your life. And resolve to be obedient student in his school. If you do so by the help of the Holy Spirit, you will be the best Christian who has Christ for his master and truly follows him. He who tries to learn of Jesus himself, taking the very word of God, or taking the very word from the Lord's own lips, binding himself to believe whatsoever the Lord has instructed or revealed, and to do whatsoever his Lord has commanded him, is a stable Christian. Steadfast, unmovable. Why? Because he is taking hold of the anchor, the rock of Christ. Follow Jesus, my brethren, and not the church, not any man-made creed. For our Lord Jesus has never said to us, or never said to his disciple, follow your brethren, but he has said, follow me. He has not said, abide by the denominational confession, but he has said, abide in me. Nothing must come in between our souls and our Lord Jesus, our Savior. Be true disciples of Christ. And let his least word be precious to you. Remember that if a man loves the Lord, he will keep his words. For Jesus says what? He that shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:19. And Jesus likewise also said, but if you love me, keep my commandments. The word keeping there means obedience. Shun all compromises and be thorough and determined, holding fast to your Savior's word. Follow the Lamb. Follow the Lord Jesus wherever he goes. If such be your resolve, brethren, if such be your determination and sincere desire, by the grace of God, you will indeed take fast hold of instruction, and you will never let it go, and you will truly grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, why are we commanded to take fast hold? It will be of great help to us, the believers, to have a studious consideration of the Word of God, and meditate much upon the truth which you have received. Like the Berean Christians, what did they do? They searched the scriptures daily, as we were told in the book of Acts. They feed their soul directly from the very word of God itself, the pure well of gospel undefiled. We need to think. We need to meditate. We need to gurgitate the word of God. We need to go in over and over again, thoroughly imbued with the Word of God. Let us live upon the Word of God, even upon the deep things of God. Let us, brethren, and we have to. There is no other way. We have to, and indeed the Lord will help us to make sacrifices. There are certain activities and things we have to let go. Our hobbies or whatever. Nothing must take away or rob our time and energy from the meditation of God's Word and communion with the Lord Jesus. Something must go, and you and I are to decide, set our priorities. Which is more important? The Word of God, communion with Christ my Savior, or my hobby, my fishing, my whatever? You decide. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Do not halt between two opinions, says the prophet Elijah. Every one of us, we have 24 hours. No more, no less. Whether you are king or queen, or whether you are just a normal person on the street, every one of us, God has fairly given us 24 hours. And it is up to us to set our priorities. Is Christ, as we studied in the book of Colossians last year, 2 years ago, who is preeminence in your life? We need to think over. We need to meditate upon it. Be rooted, grounded in the faith. And then we shall indeed take hold of eternal wisdom. And then add to this, we must be earnestly serious, serious of character. And that will go a long way toward maintaining a fast hold of Christ. By seriousness of character, we mean to bear out the testimony of Christ. The Christian life, as I said before, is not child's play. It is serious. To be a Christian, to live a life as a Christian, do not just think that, oh, I'm a Christian, as I said this morning. Yeah, I'm saved, I'm born again. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Ah, I am relieved. Phew. When I go to heaven, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more exam to study, no more all this trouble, no more sorrow. That's not the gospel, my dear friends. That's not the gospel. That's selfishness. You only think of yourself to say. Jesus did not die on the cross of Calvary so as to make you rich, so as to solve all your troubles, so as to deliver you from all your office politics and all the quarrel with family members and your neighbors and all that, so as to give you a life of peace and tranquility, so that you can live happily ever after on this earth. Jesus did not die on the cross to give you that life. So be serious about it, brethren. We are really talking here about heaven and hell. It is now or never. You decide. You decide. Alright, we are not playing games here. We are above all men, ought to make our lives dignified, meaningful, purposeful, not doleful, not ridiculous. We are not called into the world to trifle away our time and kill time in doing nothing. For this life links itself to eternity. And that eternity, in spite of all that is said to the contrary, will be one of endless misery or endless joy. It's up to us to make of it. If we go away from the Lord, forsake Him, go our own way, lean unto our own understanding, decide for ourselves, our destiny, you and I are doomed. But if you and I diligently seek after wisdom, the Lord Jesus, it will be endless joy. There is hope, hope eternal. And therefore, no small thing to possess an immortal mind and to be responsible before God. Sin is no trifle. Pardon is no trifle. Condemnation is no trifle. Eternal life is precious beyond all things. Think of it very seriously. Because when you stand before God, and you will, none of us will escape, Christian and non-Christian alike, you and I will have to stand before God on the day of judgment to give an answer to our life, the life that God has given to us. Eternal life is precious beyond all things, and life under the wrath of God is truly dreadful, dreadful. Consider it very seriously. We cannot afford to have our Christianity put under the shadow of suspicion, or dare we even appear to be mere players on a stage, on a show, for we fear and tremble at God's word. Now therefore, brethren, if this step be taken seriously and practiced in our daily lives, living a life that glorify God and enjoy Him in the Spirit, there will be growth. There will be joy. Indeed, joy in the inner man. And this is an experimental verification of our faith. The life of the Christian should agree with this book of life in faith and practical Christian living. Let us move on now to the benefits of fast holding upon Christ. The benefits of fast holding upon Christ. And the first benefit is that it gives us stability. You see, when you have an anchor that is of the right size and weight, and this, of course, I speak from my fishing experience with my friend. You know, you may have an anchor, but if the anchor, alright, is not of the right size and weight, you may throw it in and hoping that it will sink below and then stabilize the boat so that you can fish, you know, in the right place without the wind drifting your boat away and away and away. So therefore, this anchor must be Christ, or else you will be drifting. Men who take fast hold are the backbone of a church. The early Christian, look at them. Those saints of the past era were solid Christians. They are not playing a fool with their life. They are not playing a fool with their soul. They are really serious Christians. And they know. They held on to the faith and they walked with God in the power of the Holy Spirit. These believers, how did they have the power? Not of themselves, sure. Much prayer, much meditation, and they believe and take the word of God seriously and they act upon it. They seek the Lord's help. They seek the Holy Spirit to lift up the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life so that they may be light of the world, salt of the earth. And to prepare themselves to meet the Lord Jesus on that final day. These believers, as I said, were in much prayer. And they knew the truth of God. They were sure. They were certain. They were confident. And therefore, they testify or they declare, not just merely for the preachers, but as believers, they testify, they declare boldly with their life, without fear and favor of man. They are willing to die for the Lord Jesus. I said this before, isn't it? And perhaps we should later on do a study of the book of Hebrews. And that chapter where it tells us of the Christian, they are willing to be saw asunder, meaning to say saw and divided apart. Literally, to be burned. Where did they get the strength? Where did they get the strength? Where did they get the power? They are serious. They are really willing to die. You think you and I are willing? Are we? I honestly tell you, when that test comes, it is only by the grace of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, only then can we say, as Peter told the Lord Jesus, Lord, thou knowest that I truly love you. So brethren, take it very seriously. We Christians in our time, in our modern time, is having it too easy. What persecution, what suffering. Most of it is all by our own fault, our own foolishness. We make the wrong decision. We are not patient to wait upon the Lord, and we make a wrong decision and we suffer the consequences of that. We are not willing to seek the will of the Lord. We are not willing to wait upon the will of the Lord. We only go to the Lord in prayer and seeking Him in the way of, Lord, this is my plan. I like it. I want it. Just put a rubber stamp on it. That's it. Thy will be done. Oh, my dear friends, brethren, let's be very serious about it. They declared it with their life. And then next, a firm grip of the gospel will give you and I, Christian, the strength for worship, for service. The man who can take or rather the man who can hold the thoughts at one time, is the very man who can capture a thought at another time. He who can stand well can march well. The hand of the church is made of the same material as its backbone. It is of no use sending poor, hesitating, mere professors of the faith into the field of gospel mission. If you hardly know what you believe, how can you teach or show others the way of eternal life if you yourself do not know the way of life? But when the truth is written upon your heart, your very soul, and agreement, as with a point of a diamond upon your heart, you are fully convicted. You are Christian believers with a true, solid conviction of the faith. Then there will be power. Then indeed, your testimony will shine because others will really see Christ in you and glorify your Father in heaven, at your place of work, at your place of study, at home. And so, for the sake then of your spiritual strength, brethren, let us, I press the exhortation of the text to us, take fast hold of instruction. And then add to strength is that fast holding upon Christ will bring you joy. Joy which not the world gave to you. It is not joy going shopping, going after my hobbies. It is joy unspeakable in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must not be satisfied with the name to live. Oh, I'm a Christian. No, it will never comfort you. It will even distress you. The life of Christ mightily developed in you must be the joy of your heart. If there be anything in godliness, go pursue after it. If prayer has power, brethren, pray without ceasing. If there is such a thing as communion with God, go for it, enjoy it. If there be such a thing as likeness to Christ or Christ-likeness, go obtain it. Pray that the Holy Spirit will work that in you, and to pray with the words of Scripture, Lord, form Christ in me. Godliness shall not be an addition to your life, but it shall be your life itself. So pursue it after it vigorously, brethren. And one more benefit before we close, upon holding upon Christ, which is this. Christians are fast holders of Christ. And those Christians who are fast holders of Christ, they are the very glory of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the person in whom true Christianity displays its brightest light. They are truly light of the world, salt of the earth. These believers are a credit, not a shame, but a credit to the church and an honor to the name of Christianity. It is the fast grip of faith. It is vital godliness which makes a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, to be a real power in the church of God through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, brethren, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Take fast hold upon the Lord Jesus. Daily seek after Him. Remember Him. Regard Him in every areas and every aspect of your life. In your decision making, seek Him. Seek His will. And be willing to surrender to His will. To submit to His will. Lord, I desire this. But if you say no, Just give me your grace to accept it. For what you denied me is also for my good. Do you have that faith to believe? I tell you, brethren, this is the secret to how God answered your prayer. And this is, I'm also speaking from my own experience as a Christian. Truly, if truly, and God knows your heart, and God knows our heart, when you pray, and you are really, yes, Lord, I desire this. I like to go and study this program, or I like this person. I think this Christian boy or this Christian girl is for me. But, Lord, if you say no, for reasons which I may not understand or I may not know, but it's alright, I am willing to humbly accept the no. I can tell you, strange. God works in a mysterious way. And the next moment, lo and behold, the Lord gives you exactly what you ask for. Because sometimes the Lord decides to put us to the test. Really? Peter, you love me? Do you really love me? So, brethren, take fast hold. Do what the disciples at Emmaus did when Jesus talked with them. What did they do to Jesus, the two disciples, when they were walking and they were talking about Jesus and what happened after they witnessed the crucifixion? And then Jesus came to them, but they did not know. They could not recognize him. The Holy Spirit close their eyes so to speak, but they say to him, they constrain Jesus, saying, abide with us. And that's what we should pray for. Lord, abide with me. Abide with me. I cannot go on my life without you. Do not let him go. You will be a lonely pilgrim if you forsake the Lord Jesus. Plead. Plead like how Moses pleaded. Go and look up that prayer. Moses prayed this for himself and for the people of Israel. If thy spirit go not with us, carry us not up hence. So Lord, if you do not want to go with me along my pilgrim journey, then stop. I cannot go on. True godliness should be held fast. It is your treasure. Keep it, say our text. It is your best inheritance at the present moment, and it is to be your eternal inheritance. Therefore, keep it. Let everything else go. The things of this world, even of family relationship or friendship, let it go. But do not let go of Christ. Do not depart from him. The slightest fragment of truth is more valuable than a diamond. Hold to it firmly. Hold to it with all firmness. You are much the richer. You are so much the richer by every truth you know. You will be much the poorer by every truth you forget. Hold it then. Hide it in your heart that you might not sin against God. Hold fast the truth, believers in Christ. It is your treasure. It is your life. Fellow Christians in the Lord, you and I must venture all for Christ and for his gospel. This infallible word of God must be guarded to the death, but only in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Men may tell us what they please and say what they will, but we will risk everything sooner than give up those eternal principles by which we have been saved. The Lord give us his abundant grace, that we may take hold of divine instruction. Let us pray. O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit to bring your word to bear upon our hearts
and not just upon our minds only, but that we may have a deeper and fuller understanding of the seriousness of this life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are not to trifle with our life, with our soul. O Lord, you paid the price on Calvary's cross, shedding your blood for the remission of our sin. And therefore we are not to take it lightly, for it is our eternity, it is our life. And so, Father, we pray that you will help each one of us who are your children, we will take fast hold of instruction, that we will not let you go, but that we will keep you and diligently seek after thee every day of our lives in the remaining days of our pilgrim journey here on this side of eternity, till you call us home or till you return and to bring us unto yourself. Hear this our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.